This is the Senate Committee on Judiciary meeting June 3, 1987 at 5 p.m. in Hearing Room 343. We'll be having a work session tonight on House Bill 2171A engrossed, House Bill 2724A engrossed, House Bill 2304A engrossed, House Bill 2522A engrossed, House Bill 2314, 2293, 2297, 2949, H.J.R. 26, House Bill 2336, and Senate Bill 909.
The Senate Judiciary Committee will come to work. We'll go into a work session on Bill 2171.
Pardon me.
2171.
Gotcha. Mr. Chairman, I made a mistake earlier today and did not get a proposed amendment to 2171 handed out, so Lori is doing that now. It's one that was suggested, if I understand correctly, by the President's office. And goes to that, you can see the engrossed page of the bill on the back. What it goes to is that issue of 16 hours versus $50 or $50 of lobbying. And the concern was that an organization of some kind might break that up into two or more individuals. And so as an organization, evade that limit. So the point of these amendments is to cover the whole organization, whether it's one or more individuals doing a lobbying. You'll notice a little marginal note out on the left that says not gram, which says not grammatical. If we put it in the way it came from LC, it would be an individual, corporation, association, or other group who, and I don't, that struck me as being a little awkward, but I guess What you could do is adopt the language and concept, and I can straighten it out with Kathleen. That's the only amendment that I'm aware of to 2171. Both the Capital Club and Common Cause are in favor of it. We had testimony from Roger Martin, and you have a letter in your file from Pam Ferrara. And there is in your file a fairly lengthy annotation of the bill on a legal size paper that explains everything they've done. I've gone through it. The changes all clarify in one way or another. They're almost all technical. Any substantive changes are very minor ones that were necessitated by the clarification. And Betty Reynolds is here if you have any questions.
I do.
Senator Brockman? You want to have a question of Betty Reynolds? Come on up, please.
Thank you. In light of what counsel just said, how does a corporation or association actually spend 16 hours doing something?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Betty Reynolds, Executive Director of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The circumstance that this amendment is attempting to address is one in which a group that called themselves Voters for Oregon Timber Resources launched a letter-writing campaign encouraging the persons to whom they'd written to contact legislators regarding certain timber legislation, and it also encouraged the defeat of a former senator. So they, by so doing, they were attempting to influence legislative action.
To simply inquire about bills?
No, they had distributed letters encouraging the recipients of the letters to contact their legislators regarding those bills and also encourage the defeat of a particular legislator. And I believe there was some other lobbying involved, some direct contacts of legislators. But the primary expense and time expended was in the letter-writing campaign.
Well, I know who you mean. I got one of those letters, or a couple of them, actually, I think. But I don't think that this, that that particular instance, if it's the one I'm thinking of, which it, I presume it is, we're not talking about lobbying the public here, I don't think. In the bill or in the statutes.
Chair, Senator Brockman, the definition of lobbying is influencing or attempting to influence legislative action. And the letters that were written were definitely intended to influence particular pieces of legislation as well as a particular legislator.
So they still had to report during the middle of the session. Council was going to get some language. I just wrote some out here.
I'm sorry, Senator
Forrest. Well, I don't think that's the spirit of what we're trying to do in this, in the existing statute or in this bill. So I...
Can you expand a little bit on that? I'm not tracking with you on that.
Well, it was the Starkovich race, was it not? And it was prior to, I think it was during the last session, wasn't it? What didn't have anything to do with campaigning or anything? I don't think it did. I mean, maybe I didn't get all the letters. I don't know. I know I got one or something, because I remember the name of that group.
I'm sorry, I can't recall the sequence, but it may have been during the session because it was regarding specific legislation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
So, Betty, in addition to the example you just shared with us, the proposed amendment would certainly affect groups like, I'm thinking, an organization
Common Cause, Osprey?
Well, no. I watch Run Here out of Turner or Salem, kind of a statewide newsletter following legislative issues, legislative action, encouraging subscribers to respond to legislation or their legislators. It would also involve, I know I have a group that calls themselves the Tualatin Prayer Chain. They are, in fact, an organized group that communicate via the telephone, alert their membership on particular issues of significance to their membership. They, too, then would be called on to register as lobbyists.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hamby, I think the key is whether they're attempting to influence legislative action.
Yes, that's the their primary purpose.
Well, the Commission, mm-hmm. through advisory opinion, has stated that a newsletter, which is simply intended to provide information to its members and where there's no position taken on the bill, that wasn't an attempt to influence, but if the situation you're describing is attempting to influence legislative action, then yes, that group would be.
Does current statutory language allow you then also to fold in a telecommunication contact as well through a formalized group? You mentioned a newsletter. The second group I spoke of communicates by telephone.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hamby, yes.
Yes.
If they're attempting to influence legislative action, and even through solicitation of others, they would be included.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Brenneman.
To carry that a little further than a minister at the pulpit telling his congregation there was legislation that the congregation should be concerned about and to contact their legislator, the same thing would apply.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brenneman, if that minister exceeded 16 hours or $50 in a calendar quarter attempting to influence legislative action, then that particular minister may be required to register.
Wouldn't it be April 31?
Perhaps hyper-technical. Mr. Chair, I would like to point out that I think there's a distinction between existing law and the proposed amendment. Existing law already says
March,
that
April, May, June, July,
if an individual exceeds 16 hours or $50 attempting to influence in a quarter, they should register. What this amendment intends to do is eliminate a spread-the-workload loophole.
That within 30 days
by saying that if an association, corporation, or other group exceeds 16 hours or $50, then the individual members who exceed those thresholds should register. It does expand the scope, but I think some of the examples that have been given are already covered under existing statute.
I don't see that the amendment changes the intention of the law in any way. I guess I'm still not quite sure what the concern would be. What would be an example of what is it that an individual can't do now without registering that anyone is concerned about an organization not being able to do? Anybody?
This was mentioned by counsel. This came from the president's office. He's not spoken with me about it. Has he with you? I don't. I only asked this to see if he's told you what it means. What was your question? I'm sorry.
My question was I'm trying to find out whether I'm not certain whether the questions are raised by senators who don't like the concept. But if that's true, I'm trying to figure out what change in the intent of the law is expected that this amendment will make this bothersome. Give me an example. I mean, the example Senator Brenneman used, I hope you got a satisfactory answer to that. Senator Brockman, do you have a specific kind of a situation that you think would be legal now, or I don't mean legal, a situation where lobbying would not now fall under this that would if we pass these amendments?
Well, I think the example that what it's aimed at combating in the future, I don't really think that I don't think that really fits. It just seems like it's singling out an action that took place that I don't think these would do anything for one way or another. And I think the bill is pretty clear. New language in existing statute as to what we're trying to do. And I think we had two rather diverse groups agreeing on the bill. I'd just soon not start sticking new stuff into it. With Common Cause and the Capital Club both agreeing on it.
I thought they agreed on this amendment.
They agreed on the amendment.
Well, I don't. No, that's not what Eric said.
I don't know about the amendment. All I know is about the underlying bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since we have a representative of the Capital Club here, maybe if they could take a moment, they could answer that question for us, see if it's okay with them, and then we could move on.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Roger Martin, representing the Legislative Committee of the Capital Club. We agree with you. We've been sitting here reading it, and we don't see that it really affects anything, and to the best of our knowledge, would not have any. We have no objections to it. I don't know if it accomplishes anything, but I don't find anything that I can think of where I would find it objectionable.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
May I make one more comment regarding the Senate President's role in it? It was the Senate President that filed the complaint, and they weren't satisfied with the Commission's decision, action on that particular complaint file, and through a cooperative arrangement, we agreed that the resolution of that issue was really through a legislative amendment. And it was through the encouragement of the Senate President's office that these amendments were drafted. I don't want to overstate their endorsement of the amendments, and I absolutely don't want any controversy surrounding the amendments to jeopardize the passage of the Commission's bill. So.
Any other questions? Senator Brockman, you still have reservations about it, or who else? Anybody?
I don't.
Okay.
Fine. All right. Well, let's start with
I'll move the amendments, Mr.
The
Chairman.
The amendments, dash three amendments. And Senator Hamby moves the dash three amendments. Any objection? All right. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
The council.
May I have permission to make sure that it reads grammatically when it comes out?
Yes. All right.
Thank you.
All right. And then, Senator Wires, did you have something?
The hearing, we discussed what appeared to be an unintended what the intentions were, I don't know. But what's happened in this amendment on Section 4, page 3, line 15 through 17 is to, if you have the reporting January 31 and July 31, you don't get the mid-legislative session report that is always reported and create some check on people overdoing the spending. And so I thought there was support at that hearing for the idea of getting back to the way we've got it now. Now it's quarterly, but to save the cost that they're worried about, it doesn't seem to be necessary to have a quarterly during even-numbered years when we're not in session. So I would propose that we say on January 31 and July 31 of even-numbered years, and on January 31, April 31, and July 31 of odd-numbered years. So that would add an additional quarterly report every 2 years. There'd be 5 reports instead of 4.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Senator Brennan. Senator Wires, the purpose of that again?
Every session I've been here, when the report is made in the middle of the legislative session, there's press coverage of that. So that if you have somebody who is making excessive use of the ability to go out with people and have them pay for things for you, that gets picked up sometimes. There's some problems with it. Sometimes the reporting by the press picks out things that maybe the lobbyist has made a mistake in the way they filled out the report or something like that. But if there is any reason to have these reports at all, it would seem to be one of the main reasons would be so there could be some public knowledge of what's happening. And the time you get it that's timely is when the legislature's still in session. If you wait till the session's over on July 31, then we're all gone home. People are on vacation. It's not news. And the very few legislators, and I don't know that there is one this session, but other sessions there have been at least one, almost invariably in the House, a new legislator who they are not able to deal with the unlimited availability of free food and drink. And they fall off the wagon, so to speak, and careen about and become a problem. Sometimes I could go on with stories about people seeking people out in watering holes to try and lobby them for their vote. Legislators who are trying to get a bill passed and they want to go find the legislator and they're going out and looking for them at night. It seems to me that this is a very important part of the whole activity, and I'm frankly surprised that the agency didn't scream like bloody murder. That the answer when I asked about it in the hearing was that they were having trouble with getting compliance of doing this reporting. But I'm willing to support taking off the quarterly reporting in years when we're not in session, and the quarterly report in the fall every year. But it seems to me it's very important. I won't be able to support this bill, and I'll certainly be an active opponent of the bill if we're going to take off that mid-session report. I think it's been one of the few things that has consistently worked for this whole thing of all these reports that many people complain are just filed, nobody ever reads.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Hamby.
Jen, you're proposing then a semi-annual. You're proposing this language, but with the addition of one other report that would occur
3 months into the
legislative session.
Correct.
I think it's a good amendment myself. It goes really, I think it's just a matter of the public's right to know. That's really what it's all about.
That's right.
I have no problems with that.
Are you going to leave the January 31st one in?
Keeps a concurrent
plan. They're going from quarterly to semi-annual, and this plugs back in during the session a quarterly report.
One extra report.
Per biennium.
Does the one on the 31st of January tell you much of anything after you've only been in session for
less than 3 weeks?
That would cover the activity that happened from the election until the session, I think might tell you quite a bit. Yeah.
That's fine. No problem.
Okay. State your proposed amendment, Senator.
I would move that we use the language on January 31 and July 31 of even-numbered years, and on January 31, April 31, and July 31 of odd-numbered years.
All right. That's the proposed amendment. No objection from the Capitol Club? I shouldn't have asked.
No. Can I just make one comment?
Yes, come up, please.
Mr. Chairman, Dave Barrows, we have no objection to the amendment by Senator Wyatt. I'd like to suggest that you look at line 15, the word semi-annually, and on line 19, every 6 months, because you're playing with those two terms.
Oh, yes.
That's a sure a good point.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Any lobbyist who engages in lobbying activity shall file, and then we just take semi-annually out, can't we? And then have the dates. We give the actual dates.
Uh-huh.
Take out semi-annually on line 15, and then on line 19, you can take out the word 6 months and insert language since the prior report was filed. Then on the semi-annual reports, they would cover 6 months, and on that interim report, it would cover 3 months mm-hmm. each.
How about the preceding reporting period instead of 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reporting period instead of 6 months, would that be?
Filing period? Since you
filing period.
File is already the word in there.
Sound all right to you fellows? Okay. Any?
Reporting period?
Well, it seems like that's, I've seen that phrase used someplace. I think it is a reporting period, isn't it? A period for which you have to report, wouldn't that be called a reporting period? Okay, that's what I think we ought to use.
Okay.
Is there any objection to Senator Wyer's amendment? It's so ordered then.
I got one other idea.
Go ahead, Senator Wyers.
I don't know how the committee will feel about this. This didn't occur to me until just now. Do we want to put something in there that within 30 days after any special session that lasts more than X length of time? We were here once for 2 months. I hope we never do that again. But the history of it, every time there's a recession, you come in and have special sessions. But I don't care a lot about that.
No, okay. Let's. All right. Okay. Let's go with what you got, which is a heck of a good idea, I think.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else on House Bill 2171 then? Okay, Senator Wyers. Moves House Bill 2171 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Roxon?
Aye.
Cohen? Hamilton?
Aye.
Hill? Wyers?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. That carries. All right, let's go to 2304 relating to administrative procedures.
D304 sets up a commission to study contested case proceedings, to report on the role of hearings officers and administrative law judges, and to review the whole issue of ex parte communications.
This is kind of in lieu of the other, three bills that we had make substantial changes in the procedures and so forth. How's everybody on that?
Okay.
All right, Senator Brockman.
Fine.
Okay, Senator Brockman moves House Bill 2304 to the floor, do pass. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Brockman.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
All right. Yes, Senator Hamby.
I have a note that perhaps we might need to rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Oh, is there one on that?
Yes, I've written myself a note. There was some discussion.
Thank you, Senator Hamby. Yes, there is, and the folks who presented the bill asked us to rescind that.
All right. I'd move that we write the President's office requesting that subsequent referral be rescinded. Is there any objection to that? That will be done then. 2314. This is a bill that, as far as I know, at least from the witnesses, there was no opposition. It's been in a session, been in the legislature at least three sessions, and I was not exactly enamored of it the first time I saw it, but I've kind of changed my view.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Brenneman.
Is this amendment, the dash one that's before us here, and Hannah Gross on the opposite, is that the one that Representative Bria and the state police worked out?
Yes, it is, Senator Brenneman.
And Mr. Chair, Council, did we accept the amendments submitted by the Bureau of Labor and Industry?
Well, we haven't taken formal action on any of them, but they show up on the dash one amendments.
They do show.
Yes. If you, the dash one and the Hannah Gross are on the opposite sides of the sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Okay. Well, let's take the dash one amendment. Senator Hamby, do you want to move that? Okay. Senator Hamby moves the dash one amendment dated May 21st. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, if you look on the Hand and Gross version, there is a minor language change on line 6 and on line 8. An offense is technically used as a violation of a criminal statute, so I've, at Corey Streisinger's suggestion, put in violation of law. And there was some comment that contact might restrict the information exchange to the local agency calling the INS but not allow the opposite, so I've suggested this simple exchange information with to show that the contacts can flow in either direction.
Mr. Chair.
All right, Senator Hammond moves the handwritten amendments to House Bill 2314. Any objection? So ordered. Senator Hamby will move House Bill 2314 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Carries. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Hill.
Mr. Chairman, could I have permission to be recorded as an aye vote on the last two bills that were voted out of committee in the brief time that I was gone?
Okay, that's the LB Day motion.
Yeah. I knew this was a mistake.
Is there any objection to the LB Day amendment or motion made by Senator Hill? All right, it's allowed. So let's go to 2293. Well, let's see. I don't know anything about that.
2293 is the bill proposed by the Oregon State Bar dealing with the problem of filing a case in the wrong court. Sometimes you file in the district court when you should have filed in the circuit court and vice versa. Under current law, if you file in the wrong court, you have to dismiss your case and start over. And if the statute of limitations is intervened in there, you're out of luck. And so what this bill does is establish a procedure for transfer of cases rather than dismissal and refiling.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Hamby.
This was an issue that was used as the argument proposed in the consolidation of courts. a frequent...
I haven't heard that argument made.
But I do note a note from Bill Linden that they are opposed to it, but I have no problem with the bill.
Note from Bill Linden? Well, you see, he's one of these lawyers that doesn't have to pay professional liability insurance, so he can't get caught up in making these mistakes.
Maybe he should have.
Now let's put them all under it. Maybe he might make a mistake. He might.
He's an awful nice guy, but he might make a mistake.
The only thing I can see this bill does is saves clients who've got lawyers that once in a while make a mistake and file a case in the wrong court. I don't see that it does anything to the court system. All right? Senator Brenneman?
Yes.
All right. Senator Brenneman would move House Bill 2293 to the floor to pass. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Carries.
Did you send anything else out while I was on there? Let's see. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman,
collection of small bills.
I use it for mine in collection of bills that people don't pay. It's by the time I turn over for collection and they take half, you know, there's nothing left. You know,
the bill collection.
We use it quite a little bit.
And
the filing fees, $20 maybe or so forth. And
I don't know how many bills you have with $2,500.
I don't. But I could see a doctor having a bill very easily that with a patient, or a hardware owner.
Well, yeah, I can see that too, and I suppose maybe it's easier to tend to emphasize the ease with which, say, bills can be collected. But by and large, most small claims do not involve that kind of a situation. Most small claims truly involve two-bit disputes between neighbors over somebody parking their camper in front of the house, or whether somebody ran over the cat or somebody damaged the petunias by riding a bicycle through the yard, and that's the kind of stuff that you generally see there. If you raising it to $2,500, except in the case of Senator Brenneman's talking about where it's a matter of just collecting a bill, you're going to get involved in a lot of property damage disputes. You're going to get involved in all of the rules involving tort liability, wherever you've got a property damage case, automobile collision cases. But anyway, that's the reason I'm reluctant to go ahead with it. So whatever the committee wants, the Senator Brenneman has moved House Bill A. and Gross 2522 to the floor, as is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator
Morris. I could be convinced to vote for this if I were convinced it wouldn't flood the already crowded small claims court in Multnomah County. I'm sorry, I'm a little parochial on this, but if I checked with them and found out that they didn't think it would crowd it, I might vote for it. But right now, I don't go into small claims hardly at all.
I would worry
a little bit that it's crowded already. The small amount I'm down there, it looks crowded to me.
Well, it is. One of the complaints that I hear in Lane County is that it takes so long for these individuals who are without representation, to get into court to have the judge hear their case.
Would Bob or Diane have any idea?
Well, I was going to ask now if the committee wants, we could probably try to check this out. And I can bring this bill back up. We can try to get an answer.
Maybe the sponsors would like to come make their case to us. Have they done that before?
No. There wasn't any. Was there any testimony?
Representative Saylor was here briefly.
Oh, that's right. He was here, yeah.
What did he want to be able to do?
Probably got a burr in his saddle over something that's happened to him.
Let's, if it's all right.
Probably a dinner party or something. They're in $2,500. I don't know.
Would you object, Senator Brenneman, if we took this
off? I'll withdraw my motion.
Let's take a look and see what we can find out on this. I'll ask counsel to check with some district courts and put this on later. So. That takes care of the agenda, folks. It's 6:12, and we'll be adjourned.
That's a lot.
New record: 10 bills in 70 minutes.
Yeah.
My gosh.
We knew what we were doing.